winter here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and get into sort of...
But again, remember a couple years ago when it took to almost middle of June?
Oh, listen, I'm not saying we can't have snow in March, but typically the worst stretch for storms and cold and misery and all the rest of that runs from about the middle of January to about the middle of February. Mm-hmm. After that, the stuff tends to melt pretty quick, and we're doing okay.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. For the next couple of days, we're going to keep on doing okay. Lows fall down into the mid-30s tonight. Tomorrow, some afternoon showers, highs around 50. And then we retreat back into the mid-30s. Friday, we start to get a little bit colder. Partly cloudy skies, high in the low 40s, low right around freezing on Friday night. Saturday, same story, high around 40, but lows fall back into the upper 20s Saturday night. And then Sunday and Monday are going to feel downright seasonable. Highs on Sunday in the low 40s, highs on Monday not much above freezing, with temperatures falling back into the 20s both nights. Keep an eye out for a little bit of snow in the high elevations on Friday night. If you're around here, not going to see any of it. So, not bad. Not brutal, punishing, hard, cold. We can live with this.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back on The Big Picture, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention right here on WMFO Medford?
Sirloin is a popular family steak. All sirloins are excellent eating, but there are some slight differences. To get the most lean meat for your money, look for a sirloin steak with a round bone. To get the most tender sirloin, look for one with a long, flat bone. You can broil or pan broil sirloin steak if it's graded USDA Prime, Choice, or Good. If you want more tips on buying steak, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary. We are here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. And you can do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-WMFO. And it's time for Did You Hear? All these stories that we don't talk about in the beginning of the show. And Derek and I will quiz each other by giving one or two words and... We need to tell each other what the story's about. Bragging rights, so you can get more. I'm going to start, as always, Chicago.
Chicago. The band?
Nope.
I like the band.
The city?
They're coming to Boston this summer. Chicago, so the city, huh?
Yes.
Would this be about the carnage?
Yes.
Donald Trump is threatening to roll out the feds in Chicago. Unless they do something about the quote-unquote carnage. The specific tweet this morning was... No, I don't have the full one here. I've only got part of it. But that's the deal. So he's had it with the carnage.
The exact quote was, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, I will send the feds.
Yeah, I've actually seen three different numbers on that. Chicago Tribune is saying 44 people are dead. Somebody else earlier today said there were only 38 dead. So I guess it depends. It depends what time of day you read the news. You get your death toll out of Chicago.
Yeah, this actually came after the evening broadcast of Fox News' O'Reilly Factor. And the whole segment had to do with O'Reilly trying to explore ways that the federal government could intervene in combating the violence.
There's a great quote from Rahm Emanuel in this that to me is very telling. And this is what he said.
Oh, our buddy Rahm.
I think he said this to the Chicago Tribune. Over the years, the federal government stepped back their resources, which we have stepped up. The federal government can be a partner. And to be honest, they haven't been for decades. Well, Rahm Emanuel, you were a big to-do in the Obama White House.
I believe that they were BFFs, no?
So they were. So you're sitting here saying the federal government hasn't done anything to solve this problem in decades. You're off the Democrat script, sir. You're off the liberal progressive script. You're not supposed to say that.
No, you're supposed to stay suit.
Yeah. I don't know that rolling the National Guard into Chicago is the right solution, but they've been put on notice.
How many deaths in 2016? I believe it was upwards of 700.
Yeah. Mm. And they're up 26% so far this year. So yeah.
We're only in the third week. How's that?
They're heading for 1,000. Mm. I think that's the goal. Alternative facts.
Ooh. Alternative facts.
That's the new name of our show.
Yes. That was a quote from your new Washington White House press secretary, Spicer.
No, it was not from Spicer.
Oh, that was from, what's her name? But she was talking with, was it Meet the Press?
Yes.
And they were arguing the number of people that were, I can't believe.
Kellyanne Conway.
Yes.
Rumor has it she punched a guy in the face.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you have
Trump's inauguration party.
They were talking about the numbers compared to in past years.
Yeah.
And there was an interesting back and forth.
At which point she brought up,
I believe, why are you being so dramatic?
Yeah. Well, what happened is on Friday, there were a bunch of news outlets that were like, hey, look at the low turnout for the inauguration. On Saturday, Sean Spicer drags everybody in the White House and says, there weren't no low numbers for the inauguration. There were a million people there, which, look, maybe, probably not. Who cares? There were people watching online. There were more people watching online than ever before. And when Kellyanne Conway was asked about it on Meet the Press, she said, we're presenting alternative facts. And of course, Meet the Press was not having any of that and said, wait, what are alternative facts? And thus a meme is born. We're not even a week in. We're not even a week in, and I am already fed up with this administration. I am already sick of the shenanigans. Look, Barack Obama's, before I hit that point of it, all right? It is good and right to fault news outlets like Reuters, who ran the side-by-side pictures showing all the people in 2009 mm-hmm. and the smaller crowds in 2016. Okay?
Mind you, it was raining also.
It is more than fair for the White House to bring that up, because I've never seen that done for president before. Usually the media doesn't sit around and talk about inauguration turnout.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make a big deal about it this time, and the White House is right to punch back at that. At the same time, either pick the hill you're going to die on, and this is not a hill that is worth anybody dying on, or fight it with some actual facts. Because the reality is that Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009 was a moment of American history. He was the first black president ever sworn in. And there were people who came from all over the country, largely black Americans, who wanted to be a part of one of the most significant civil rights moments in U.S. history. Donald Trump is another rich white guy going into 1600 Pennsylvania. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm impressed he got a quarter million to show up. if that's the total number, be impressed he got a quarter million people to take time off from work to come down and watch this thing. Because it ain't that big a deal. I know it's a big deal for you because you're the president now, but it's like nobody put that context out there. They were just like, ha ha, look at all this low turnout. And the White House is right to push back at that. The media is a bunch of idiots. Once again, they make themselves look like a bunch of idiots because there is no historical context around this. It was just, oh, nobody showed up for the Trump inauguration. Not true. that side-by-side photo that Reuters ran.
Mm-hmm.
Completely disingenuous.
No, it was a meme and everybody reposted it on Facebook.
If you don't give it any context, and those editors over there know exactly what they're doing. They're smart people.
Of course.
Okay? You guys are smarter than this. You guys are better than this. What the story should have been...
But Derek, that fits a narrative. That fits a narrative of saying the illegitimacy
yes.
of this president.
Yes.
And this is what is going to continue for the next 4 years.
And this is why
it's sad. And
a lot of these news organizations really ought to clean house and find some people with some different points of view and some brains in their heads who can look at that and say, you want to run that, put some context with it. Because 2009 was a moment in U.S. history. 2016, another white guy goes in the White House. Big yips. That's why the numbers are small. President the Donald, let it go.
Mexico City policy.
Mexico City policy. Are we talking about NAFTA?
Mm-mm. It's also known as.
We're not talking about NAFTA.
No.
We're not talking about rules of origin.
No.
What
if I gave you the alternative name?
Is it an alternative fact?
Global gag rule.
Is this the EPA being silenced?
Mm-mm.
I have no idea.
On Monday, just days after hundreds of thousands of women marched in Washington, and we're talking about, you know, hundreds of cities across the nation. I think here they were talking about 250,000 walked in Boston. Which we knew was going to happen, having a Republican come into power. President Trump signed off on the first anti-abortion policy for the term.
Oh, that thing.
Yes. So almost immediately after entering office, every new administration since 1984, because everybody's all up in arms and they're saying abortion,
Reagan.
Regardless if it was a Republican, if it was a Democrat, whatever was already in place, if it doesn't fit your side, it's going to be overturned or reinstated.
Reagan, basically, this I never heard it referred to as the Mexico City rule. I don't know where that came from. Reagan enacted this through an executive order during his first term in 1980. It is a bill that prohibits U.S. taxpayer money from going to non-governmental organizations. NGOs are private organizations. Okay, so this is a government subsidy of a private company. Some of them are charitable. Charities are corporations, folks. They're companies. So it basically forbids public money from going to non-governmental organizations that promote or provide abortion. Every Republican reinstates it. Every Democrat repeals it. It's a ping pong ball. And it just whoever's in charge is going to decide whether or not, you know what, the money gets out to these NGOs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It just means a bigger chunk has to come out of George Soros' personal fortune. I think it's a poor policy.
Yeah.
I think the abortion policy in the United States of America is poor. I understand where the politicians are coming from. I get it. I understand why they do this. I don't think they should. I think both parties should tell the anti-abortion people to get bent and let's get on with our lives. And if they want to have an anti-abortion political party, go ahead and do that. Go try and elect some candidates. I wish you luck with that because you ain't going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was
the global gag rule because it hinders communication between healthcare providers and patients.
Yeah, global. Yeah, that I may have heard, but not. All right. Mary Tyler Moore.
She sadly died today at the age of 80. I believe it was from a long battle with diabetes.
She's had diabetes since the age of 33, is when she was first diagnosed, and was a very active fundraiser and campaigner for the Juvenile Diabetes Association and for animal rights. Mary Tyler Moore is one of the all-time greats, not just actress, not just producer, American. One of the all-time great Americans and a trailblazer. If you are a millennial, you got to go back and you got to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Started in 1970, ran until 1977. Mary Tyler Moore was the original liberated, self-sufficient, empowered woman. That's what that show was. This was a woman who lived by herself, who had an important job, who didn't need men in her life, Every date that she went on was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was getting things done and was forging new ground in the male-dominated world of broadcast television. And that show took on all of that stuff. Plus, it's got Betty White in it. And I know mm-hmm. the millennials love the Betty White.
I used to watch it because they used to play it all the time on Nick at Night.
Fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's on Cozy or one of the little digital alternates of the UHF channels.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's some way you can find it on streaming.
Great show. Site. And you know what? You can still watch it and still laugh at it. And a lot of it is still relevant today. The fashions have changed. The situation's not so much. You know, I love that show. It is a landmark of American television. It's one of those things they teach in communications classes as the point where American situation comedies shifted from being about the family to being about other groups of people. And in the case of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, it was the work family. This wasn't a typical mom, dad, brother, sister kind of situation. But Lou Grant is the dad. The boss is the dad. And Rhoda, the best friend, is like Mary Tyler Moore's sister. But it was an acknowledgement of the world that was changing. A very gutsy show to put on in 1970, right around the start of the equal rights mm-hmm. movement for women in this country. Something that easily could have been sunk in its first season on network television, but because it was so well written and so well done, is something that people still want to watch today. I will miss her very, very much. Always adored Mary Tyler Moore. Great human being.
I'm going to give you Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt had one of his gold medals taken away from him.
He did.
I believe for the 2012...
In 2008.
Oh, 2000...
Beijing Games.
So I knew it, yeah. 2012, I knew it was... I was going to say 2012 Beijing. Mm-hmm. Because one of his teammates was doping.
Not for him, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he... Nesta Carter was disqualified for the 4x100 relay that won him and his three teammates gold, and his sample tested positive for the banned substance methohexylamine.
Yeah.
That.
Very sad.
Don't take that.
Red Panda.
Red Panda. Is it a new hybrid of a panda?
No.
Is it a company?
No.
I don't know.
Was it posted on the Big Picture feed, facebook.com/...
Was that today?
Big Picture WMFO? Yes, it was. Yeah. Facebook.com/Big Picture WMFO.
Yeah, I didn't look today.
Did this story make it onto CNN and USA Today and all the other major news outlets? Yes, it did. The Virginia Zoo has lost one of its red pandas. It is a female. They have no idea where it is. They are using infrared sensors, flying them over the zoo in an attempt to track down the red panda. If you have the red panda, yes, it's adorable, but please bring it back. They realized it was gone when the zoo closed for the night last night, and I hope no one has taken the red panda home. But it's cute enough that someone might have.
Something you just don't lose every day.
Please bring back the red panda. Now, the other possibility, of course, is I don't know what other sorts of wildlife they have at the zoo. I assume there's some big cats around. Hopefully it didn't wander off into another cage and become lunch for something. But
Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots. Is it Sean Spicer?
Yes.
Sean Spicer has an irrational hatred of Dippin' Dots.
Lasting many, many years.
This has been going on every now and again. Sean Spicer will tweet how he thinks Dippin' Dots is not the ice cream of the future, but the worst ice cream ever.
Now, I'm sure Dippin' Dots is trying to jump on this bandwagon, understanding this man's hatred for his company. The CEO, Scott Fisher, he, in a message, tweeted out on, it was kind of like an open letter. We've seen your tweets and would like to be friends rather than foes. So back in 2010, Spicer tweeted ice cream of the past. In 2011, most recently, in September 2015, he must have been at a Washington Nationals game. He posted a picture of the Dippin' Dots, and if Dippin' Dots truly was the ice cream of the future, they wouldn't have run out of vanilla. So, angry man. Please just give the man a lifetime supply of your Dippin' Dots.
We've got to win Sean Spicer over to the Dippin' Dots because Dippin' Dots aren't bad.
So salad.
I like Dippin' Dots.
Angry.
You should get them out of the machine where it's like, it just like start throwing
Liberty
all these.
Liberty Tree Mall. That used to be my favorite thing to get at that mall.
It's the only reason to go to that mall. They don't even have the machine anymore.
Actually,
so
you know what?
No reason to go to
right
that
by
mall.
Where we live, right across from the Stop and Shop in Stoneham, they sell Dippin' Dots at that gas station.
Oh, yeah. It's the same one that has the decent fried chicken.
Wait.
Have you tried that fried chicken yet?
You get gas station fried chicken?
It's good fried chicken.
Oh, yeah?
It is. I am not... Seriously. I am not lying to you.
Derek.
It is good fried chicken.
You think I would eat gas station fried chicken?
It's not gas... It's like... That's a national franchise, and they have like an outlet in there. Yes, it's made by the same people that run the cash register. It's good fried chicken.
I've eaten worse.
I'm just telling you, it's good fried chicken. Howard Johnson's. As long as we're on a food sort of binge here.
Howard Johnson's. So that is the hotel chain.
Yes, that still exists. We're not talking about that.
Hojo's.
Yeah, Hojo's.
I don't know.
The last Howard Johnson's restaurant in America.
They have a restaurant?
There is one left. And it still has a Howard Johnson sign, still has the orange roof. The last Howard Johnson's in America is up for sale. It is in Lake George, New York, and it has been operated for the last couple of years by John LaRock, who I guess got his first job there back in the 1970s. It was open this past season. It is closed right now, and there's some question about whether or not it's open or they're just closed because it's the off season up there. But this is it. This is the very last Howard Johnson's, and hopefully somebody buys this and like keeps it going, because otherwise, like Brigham's, it's gone. It's over. And it's kind of a, you know, if you grew up around here in the 1970s, there's a pretty good chance that Howard Johnson's was your introduction to ice cream. And if it wasn't Howard Johnson's, it was probably Friendly's because they were everywhere.
Really?
Brigham's were a little bit hard to track down. And it depended on what neighborhood you were in, what your town had, because every town had at least one Friendly's. There were a lot of Howard Johnson's around. And there were a few, you know, Brigham's was never as big as Howard Johnson's. Howard Johnson's was the biggest restaurant chain in the United States of America at one point. And if you know where to look, you can still see where some of them used to be. But a lot of them have just been torn down. They're gone. This is a piece of American history, you know, and it's times have changed. They didn't sell booze, so they couldn't compete. But it's kind of sad to see Howard Johnson's go.
All right, last one for you. Heinz,
In lieu of buying Super Bowl advertising, is giving some of their employees the day after the Super Bowl off.
Yes.
Their belief is that they can get more publicity from the media with this stunt than they can by spending $5 million on a 30-second Super Bowl advertisement.
And this comes right out of the page of last year during Black Friday. From REI, who gave all of their employees the day off.
Correct.
And said, you know, they should enjoy what we built our company on, exploring the outdoors. And how much just articles were written about that or things that were posted, people reposting it on social media, and how great that company culture was. There you go. Same thing.
I think they're right. I think they've gotten more than $5 million worth of free advertising out of this
and
so far.
And it should.
Based on what
said
I've
said that before on the show. The Monday after Super Bowl should be a holiday. It should be Super Bowl observed. Just like many of the holidays were this year.
Look, the game's over at like 9:30. You have more than enough time to go home and sleep it off. Be a man. All right? If you're going to make that a holiday, it should be a state holiday when there's a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
That you get Tuesday off, or a Sunday night game, you get Monday off. I'm serious. I mean, it's football fans subject themselves to way more abuse.
Well, especially though, being in the Super Bowl, wouldn't you want the next day to either celebrate and go out to breakfast your life, or lament in your sadness?
We can't even get 50 states to agree on giving people a day off for Martin Luther King. You're not getting a day off for football, all right? You're not getting a day off for football. I love football. I would love to have a day off. I didn't even get Martin Luther King Day off. I love any day off, but I'm not taking a day off for football. Man up. Go to work hungover. It's the American way. Mark Dayton.
Mark Dayton.
Mark Dayton. You should know this one. This has been in the headlines for days. Would it help you if I told you what he does?
Yes.
He's the governor of Minnesota. And still the bewildered stare from my co-host.
Know.
Mark Dayton is the governor of Minnesota who collapsed during the State of the State address on Monday night. He told reporters on Tuesday that he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and will undergo treatments. And he also plans to finish his term. The doctors say his outcomes look good. He's 69 years old. And I wish Governor Dayton a full recovery and a long and healthy life. So that was the story Tuesday. It was like, governor collapses during State of the State address. Well, now we know why. So wishing you all the best, Governor Dayton. It is WMFO Medford on the Town. Mikey D comes up at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We come back in just a couple of minutes with everything you need to know about this year's Oscar nominees here on WMFO Medford.
Days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit with
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life,
a complete, fully stocked first aid kit,
a heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease,
extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks,
a radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection every second of each hour of every day. See a survival shelter now.
Okay, gang. So chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture. He's Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night. And of course, we need to talk about one of our favorite shows of the year is our Oscar show, where we do bring on special guests. Your wife comes on because she is a movie specialist. And
oh, she's not.
We like to compete with each other on who knows the most about all the nominations, because on Monday, we finally found out the Oscar nominations that everybody's been waiting for after, you know, because SAGs, we
yeah.
like it.
Nothing compared to the little
the
gold
Oscars
statue.
The Oscars is the big, big prize that everybody wants.
Now, you and I have been battling each other yes. into pretty much a dead heat.
every year.
For the Oscar nominations for the last several years. And we've been cleaning
last
up.
Last year I won.
We've also been cleaning up in pretty much every Oscar pool that we enter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, unless we're going against each other, usually if we're going against other people, one of us wins. Which is, so you want to tune into our Oscar show because we do know what we're talking about. This year, I got to admit, I haven't seen any of this.
Really? But can we say one thing? Oscars, not so white anymore.
Oh, thank God for that. And by the way, did you see that the woman that came out with the Oscars...
Not so white.
The Oscars so white hashtag said still not good enough because there weren't enough Asians nominated or people with disabilities nominated.
Latinos.
You didn't nominate a three-legged guy with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. When will it be enough? Listen.
We've got to be inclusive.
I love diversity in the Oscars, okay? But as I said last year when all this was raging, the problem is not the Oscars. The problem is what gets greenlit by Hollywood. And guess what? A bunch of awesome movies starring African Americans got made this year and got nominated. You know why? Because they're awesome movies with awesome actors and actresses in them.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. If you want to see more diversity in the Oscars...
And pretty big names, though...
Make more diverse movies. Oh, and by the way, Hidden Figures, number one movie in America last week.
But again, that is backed by Denzel Washington, who
has... No, that's Fences.
Or Fences.
Fences is nowhere near the number one movie in America.
Who did...
Hidden Figures is the one with
Kevin Costner. I know the movie, but who...
Viola Davis.
Was the director
Taraji P.
for
Henson.
That. Yep, and both, which were nominated.
Yeah. Taraji P. Henson was not nominated.
Who else was in that?
She
was
nominated. Octavia Spencer.
Yes. The two of them were.
Viola Davis have both been nominated for
Best Supporting
Actress. So let's get into this a little bit and see. By the way, I think it was Octavia. It's either Octavia Spencer or Viola Davis was in the audience the night that we went to see Othello.
Octavia Spencer.
It was Octavia Spencer.
I believe, yes.
Yeah, I think it was Octavia Spencer. Mm-hmm. She was in the audience. We met Willem Dafoe. But it's
again, had better seats than all of them.
Yeah, we did. We had better seats than Willem Dafoe. Not to brag. Awesome guy, by the way.
Confirmed, so, Octavia. Your wife just texted me.
So, Best Picture nominees. I have seen none of these, okay? You got Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, which you'd think I would have seen. It was a busy autumn. Hell or High Water, really? Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion.
I'm surprised you haven't seen La La Land
yet. Manchester by the Sea or Moonlight. Well, from what I've read, from what the critics have said,
it's Hollywood's darling, Derek.
It ain't that good.
Yeah.
And there was actually a piece in the New York Post today talking about how ridiculous it is that Hollywood gave a movie about Hollywood 14 nominations.
But Hollywood loves Hollywood.
I know. What was
they love themselves.
What was my argument a couple of years ago for why you should pick Argo for Best Picture?
Yep.
And I believe I won that year, and everybody was saying, there's no way Argo's going to be Best Picture. You're crazy. And I said, Hollywood loves movies.
See, that's how we always determine our wins, because we always end up on Best Picture. We're always dead heat. And that year I went against
you. The final three, Best Actor, Best Director, and Best Picture that separate us. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, oh, Argo's not going to win, it's not going to win. I'm like, Hollywood loves movies where Hollywood is the hero. And that's why Argo won that year, and that's why La La Land is going to win this year. You can already circle that on your Oscar ballot, by the way. So I haven't seen any of these, which is unusual. I've usually seen at least a couple of the Best Picture nominees. Have you seen any of these?
Nope.
So we're both, like, have you seen anything on the list? I could count the number of movies on this list I've seen on one hand. I know that Molly's seen some of these that I haven't seen.
Yeah, I am going to have a very busy February.
So, let's see. Yeah, I'm down to Best Original Screenplay. I still haven't seen any of these yet. Best Adapted? Nope. Foreign Language? No, I haven't seen any of those. Haven't seen any of that. Here's one. Best Makeup and Hairstyling. I saw that.
Wait, you haven't seen The Lobster?
No, I haven't seen The Lobster yet. Star Trek Beyond. I saw that. Passengers? No, I didn't see that. None of the animated movies I saw this year are on the Best Animated list.
I found one. Found two. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, haven't seen.
Best Costume.
Haven't seen that yet.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of these. Wait, nope, I haven't seen that. Nope.
Zootopia, did see.
Haven't seen that yet. Haven't seen Sing yet.
Suicide Squad.
Ah, here's one I saw, Deepwater Horizon. Two. I've seen two of the movies in Best Sound Editing.
There you go.
Deepwater Horizon and Sully. That's it. Wait. I saw Rogue One, A Star Wars Story for Best Sound Mixing and Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, I have
seen four of the nominated films.
I have three, so I'm not too far behind you.
So I'm one up on you already. So maybe you want to go see some of these movies. This is one of the things that drives me nuts about the Oscars is...
13 hours.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. This is one of the things that drives me nuts about the Oscars every year is they nominate all these movies... And half of them is stuff that was dumped in the last week of December just to make eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go see it in the theater if you got time. But that's the only way you can see it is it's in the theater. A quarter, like maybe if you're lucky, a quarter of the films are streaming and you can see them that way. And then a quarter of the films, you just can't see at all because they're in between the theater and home video. So, and I don't understand why the industry does this. You know, it seems to me like Doctor Strange, I looked this up, doesn't come out until the week after the Oscars are over.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange didn't do that great in the box office. Why don't you rush out a version of it right now? Why don't you get it up on demand right now so that people who want to see the Oscar nominees can go see that? The Arrival comes out on Valentine's Day. All right, at least that's enough time to go see it before the Oscars. It's not going to win anything, maybe Best Original Screenplay, but at least you get a chance to see it. Some of this stuff, you're just completely out of luck. It's like, yeah, it'll be out eventually. I expect some of these films may get bumped up into video on demand or may get bumped up in Amazon Prime and Netflix.
Which generally does happen.
in February, but...
More specifically, a lot of times the Netflix streams the documentaries.
Yes.
Or at least tries to have all of them available.
So here you go. Here's how you can go see at least some of these movies so that you kind of know what you're talking about. Out in theaters right now, everywhere, easy to find. La La Land just opened a couple of weeks ago. Fences, Denzel Washington, awesome. Hidden Figures was number one movie in America a couple of weeks ago. Manchester by the Sea. All over the place around here. Easy to find those. If you look at some of the smaller theaters around, particularly the Kendall Square Cinema, I'm looking at you and Cinema Salem, Arlington, Lexington, Apple Cinemas. Check all the smaller houses around. You will find Lion, Moonlight, Jackie, which has got next to no distribution, surprisingly, for a Natalie Portman film. And The Arrival is actually playing at Kendall Square. Kendall Square and the Landmark over in Waltham both make a policy of getting as many Oscar-nominated best pictures on the big screen as they possibly can. Keep an eye on their schedules over the next couple of weeks, and you will probably see some of the films that are hard to find either popping up in their theaters or coming back in for a limited re-release.
Now, one thing you always mention about Kendall Square, they're usually on top of doing some sort of package where you can watch all of the animated shorts.
Aha! This is something I highly recommend. There is shorts.tv is the website you go to. Shorts.tv puts together programs every year of live action, animated, and documentary shorts. These will be released on demand, but they're not going to be on demand until February 21st. Which is a couple of days before the Oscars. Not enough time to watch all this stuff. I highly recommend you go find a group of people and see them in a theater. Theaters in the past that have had them include the Coolidge Corner, which has already announced that they're going to have the documentary shorts on February 10th. So that's probably around the time this is going to pop up every place else. The ICA over near you in the Seaport District. Cinema Salem. Kendall Square. I don't know if the Landmark in Waltham does the shorts or not. I know Kendall Square does. Look around the smaller art houses. Look around the Harvard Film Archive. You will find showtimes for these. Programs for the live action and the animateds tend to run about 90 minutes. And the great thing about it is most theaters schedule it so you can see them back to back. So you spend 3 hours in the theater. You get to see all the animated shorts. They're great films. They're really great films. Cinema Salem had us all sitting in a broom closet last year watching them.
And those are usually the categories that get us.
Didn't care. You know what? I will say, watching them may be a disadvantage instead of just chucking darts.
I don't remember last year because I didn't watch them on demand. But typically, if you go under your, there's a category on your on demand that says 2017 Oscars. And it will give you, I think it was like, I did it 2 years ago, maybe $6.95, and you can watch all the animated shorts and live action.
That's the on-demand program. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be available until February 21st. So you can do it that way. And Verizon is going to have it, and I suspect Comcast will have it. Everybody will have it. It's more fun to go see these in the theater. These are films that were meant to be seen in a theater, and there's something about sitting back and spending 3 hours watching shorts on the big screen that is a lot of fun. If you haven't done it, highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Now, there's also, if you go on, it was an article posted yesterday by USA Today under their Entertain This. Just type in, you can stream these Oscar-nominated films right now. The article will pop up, and it gives you all of the streaming services.
I'll tell you where to go to find what.
Yeah, so
this is what's actually streaming versus rental versus you got to pay for it. Hulu has got OJ Made in America. Mm-hmm. Set aside 9 hours of your life to watch this. It is awesome. It's not going to win because it's 9 hours long. That's my early call on that. Netflix has the documentary 13th, produced by Ava DuVernay, about the 13th Amendment and its effect on Black Americans. It also has The Jungle Book, nominated for Best Visual Effects from Disney, and one of the best animated nominees, Zootopia. Amazon Prime will get you The Lobster, which I do want to see because it's supposed to be great. The documentary Life Animated, and the documentary 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. If you have HBO, you can watch Hail Caesar, I don't know why you'd want to, but you can. And you can see Jim the James Foley Story, although that is only nominated for Best Song, so you don't have to watch the movie. You can see the song on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Best Songs are all on YouTube. You can go get them there. They're terrible. Best Song nominees are always terrible, except for Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you can go.
We love Adele.
And I expect more will be added in the coming weeks to capitalize on Oscar fever.
Get ready. It's a big show.
It is a big show. It is a big picture right here, right now. On the Tell Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But before that happens, the strangest stories of the past week and our favorite things from the past week right after this here on WMFO Medford.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. And it's time for what's hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. Now, you brought it up last week in our...
Fake news.
You brought it up in our segment, Did You Hear? And you asked me about the Mac King or King Mac, the big one.
Oh, the Mac Jr.
Yes. Well, because McDonald's is coming out.
I asked you about the Grand Mac. Yeah, not to be confused with the Grand Mal. That's a type of seizure.
Two brand new Big Macs. And we like giving away or finding out about free things. So McDonald's is, you know, going on the... Is this yours?
Keep going.
I have two things. So
keep
I'm
going
to say
keep
one.
Keep going. Keep
well,
going.
Well, McDonald's is giving away 10,000 bottles of its special sauce. So the way that you can do it and get this limited edition, you can follow them on their social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, or download the iMessage app called McDonald's Special Sauce Finder. And once you find the location, you tell them the secret code, which is there's a Mac for that.
Can't give out the secret code. Otherwise, everybody's just going to walk in and be like, there's a Mac for that. And it's like, no, everybody True. Knows the secret. Now you've blown it. Now I'm not going to be able to get any secret
People
sauce.
People are going to know. You want the secret sauce? Isn't it like Thousand Island?
You know, it's funny. Everyone has been saying that on their Twitter account. And it's like, as soon as they announced this, people were tweeting pictures of Thousand Island dressing.
Now, this starts tomorrow.
McDonald's.
Around the country.
McDonald's spokesperson swears up and down that it is not just Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
So
let me try.
But yeah, tomorrow you can go.
Well, now another really cool thing. Had that too?
You don't get to take mine and then go do something else. Okay, you got one. You get one.
Well, it's two McDonald's associated things.
Oh, what's the other one?
That on January 31st. Well, Boston is getting a Big Mac ATM. But on January 31st, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., this is at the Huntington Bridge between Copley Mall and the Prudential Center, the ATM will give you a free burger. So you press it, free burger.
What, the burger's going to be shooting out of the ATM?
I don't know. I'm sure until... There's going to be somebody that's standing there and pressing it 100 times until, yeah.
Is this a new expansion for McDonald's that's going on here?
Big Mac ATM.
Saw the founder over the weekend. Highly recommended. Go see that. Michael Keaton's awesome. Great, great piece of history. They played it right, too. Star Wars fans, of which Lisa is not one, so I can get back at her with this. It turns out, according to a blog post from one of the folks over in the visual effects department at Lucasfilm, that we've been wrong about the trench run on the Death Star. If, like me, you have believed for the last 40 years that the trench run took place in that big trench around the middle of the Death Star, nope, that's not where it happened. That's actually where all the ships flew in and out of the Death Star. The trench was in a different place that runs north-south along the axis of the Death Star, not east-west like the big trench in the middle. Oh, and by the way, as he explains in his post at fxrant.blogspot.com, if you watch the movie carefully, you will see exactly where the trench is when General Dodona is telling the fighters what their objective is. Major piece of information that's been right in front of us all these years, and all of us have been getting it wrong. Yep, we're all Americans.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Florida. Florida woman faces trespassing charges after police said she sneaked on to President the Donald Mar-a-Lago Resort in Florida on Friday to rub banana peels on cars. Kelly Weidman slipped into the Mar-a-Lago grounds in Palm Beach just hours before Trump's inauguration in Washington, police said. She smeared bananas all over cars, according to local reports, and left explicit message on a computer inside the resort. inside the resort. Weidman typed F-U Trump B on a computer screen, according to local authorities. Police said she moved balloons from inside the building to the bushes outside. Security guards were called police after Weidman refused to leave. She confessed, police said, after she was... they went up to her. Yeah. Officer said she told them that she wanted to be arrested because it would get attention for her claim of being cyber attacked, according to the Sun Sentinel. And police reported that there was no report about her being cyber attacked. This apparently was not the only thing involved. In October, a woman was arrested in Wisconsin for smearing peanut butter all over Trump supporters' cars. So I don't know what it is with smearing food.
I'm wondering what's up with the banana-aided criminal malfeasance that's taking place. Did we just have a guy get arrested around here for throwing banana peels in his neighbor's yard?
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah. What's up with the bananas?
Sounds like an episode of The Osbournes. I feel like they did that.
Stop.
It was deli meat.
Misusing bananas. I mean, that's food, all right? There are other things you can misuse that won't exacerbate the hunger problems in this world, all right? Enough with the bananas. People make me crazy. Australia. Lend a hand and try not to die. The Australian Reptile Park, the world's only supplier of anti-venom for funnel spider bites, has asked the public to help them catch the deadly spiders after their anti-venom supplies ran low. The spiders, whose venom can kill in an hour if a victim is not treated, can be caught safely, according to General Manager Tim Faulkner. Quote, with an appropriate jar and a wooden spoon, you can flick the spider into the jar so easily, end quote, he said. He will follow that up by saying, we have been doing this for 35 years and no one's been hurt. Given the shortage of anti-venom, you may want to think twice before you try this.
You just flick the spider.
You just take your spoon and you flick the spider into the jar and then take it to the Australia Reptile Park. By the way, they're running low on anti-venom because a couple of people have been bitten lately by the funnel spiders because there's a drought taking place in Australia.
Yeah. One reason why I wouldn't want to visit Australia.
There are many reasons why you wouldn't want to visit Australia, from the syphilis-infected koalas to the funnel spider to two of the deadliest snake species on Earth, to the jellyfish with the world's most painful sting. What a great place to have a holiday. Everything in Australia.
Everything you could want.
Everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
Yeah.
That's
vacation of horrors.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody lives there. But I will not be going out and flicking funnel spiders into a tree. It is the deadliest.
No, I have a hard enough time, you know, killing a small spider on the ceiling.
I have to question the logic of putting this statement out. If you did that in the United States, there would be massive public outcry.
Mm-hmm.
Because people would be like, we'll have children running around with spoons and jars harvesting the funnel spider, and then we'll have dead children. And it's like, you know what? I'm sure there is a safe way to flick a lethal spider into a jar. But when you don't have any anti-venom, don't tell people to go try this at home.
Easy.
Yeah.
Man, I'm dark.
No. I will go to work the day after the Super Bowl and not complain, but I am not going to go hunting for funnel spiders.
No.
Not on my to-do list. Hey, you know what? That is just about all the time that we have on the Tell Mikey D is going to be coming up next. Don't forget, check the local listings for the movie theaters. We know the Kendall, Cinema Salem, ICA, Coolidge Corner are all going to have the shorts programs. Go see those. I can't stress enough. I've been going to see them for the last like 3 years now, and I get them wrong every year now. But I have a great time enjoying those movies. And it's, if you've never seen shorts on the big screen before, you're missing a real treat, because it's fun. Because it's like you sit there and it's like, oh, movie's done. Oh, another movie's done. And you get to see a bunch of different perspectives and stories, and sometimes fun things happen and sometimes annoying things happen. And when the films are annoying, hey, it's short. You're not there for 2 hours. So that's my cultural recommendation for you. We will be back next week, as we always are. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely, as always.
And I am Derek Gary. On the Tell Mikey D starts right now. Stay safe, everybody.
I think we got it now. get a power increase, and we should get a better release. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. It would be so awesome.
It would be so awesome.
We would really